of mom.
But Billy Graham also lists the other side of the fence. The tyrannical dictator Nero had a mom who was a murderess. The British novelist and aristocrat Lord Byron was known for being arrogant, excessive, having numerous love affairs, and destructive spending habits. One girlfriend described him as mad, bad, and dangerous to know. What about his mom? She was known to be proud and violent. So do you see the influence of moms on their children? There's an old saying that we used to use in East Tennessee. It says, the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree. In other words, the influence of mom and dad is pretty big in the life of the children. So is it true that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? Well, we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to see what we can find there. And I'm going to list one mom that you probably haven't thought about. So let's go to the Lord first. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for my mom that was a godly Christian lady who made a difference in my life. Her dedication to you and her quiet demeanor, her serving attitude, sticks with me today. And Father, I thank you for those who have not, I pray for those who have not had a good influence from their mom, and thank you that you have set an example before them. I pray that you would encourage them as well. Perhaps you gave them a good father or another good role model. So I ask that you encourage them as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So mother, how many times is it mentioned in the Bible? It's 282 times. Mom, that's more than praise, much more than preaching. Mom, pretty important, isn't it? But see, the Bible covers a whole different perspective of moms. Of course, we can all think of the Proverbs lady. She seems to do nothing wrong. Perhaps she's perfect, Steve. But the Bible also talks about a lady by the, well, I used that term wrong, a woman by the name of Herodias. Herodias had her daughter dance before Herod, and drunken Herod that was having a party so enjoyed what this daughter was doing that he promised her anything she wanted. Mom had put a question in her ear, so the daughter says, all right, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. A mother. It just so happens that John was preaching about her adulterous relationships with two uncles. And he got arrested, thrown into prison, and he got lost his head over that one. A mother. So do you see the influences of mom? Did you know you had that much influence in the lives of your children? So the Bible is pretty candid about mothers. So let's look at some positive examples of motherhood. The first one we're going to look at is Sarah. Sarah was the wife of Abraham. Now, I don't know if you've thought about it, but poor old Sarah. She was a wife who followed a very adventurous husband. Do you have any wives like that today who have to follow these wild and woolly adventurous husbands? I know better, Gwen. It's you that does the leading with there when you're out in the bush. But But Sarah, you know, here they were in a place called Haran in Ur of the Chaldees, and they probably set up home. And all of a sudden, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "All right, Abraham, I want you to pack up the family and move into the wilderness without any specific place." What do you think Sarah was thinking? Here we go again. But she dutifully packed up the wagon and off they go into the... Now, when you talk about the wilderness, it's not like going into the bush. The wilderness at that time was a bad place. There was full of mythology and places you just don't want to go. And there you went, following Abraham. So they go off into the wilderness. Well, at that time, Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65, and there was no kids in the family, so it must have been easier to move with no children. But the sad thing is that Sarah couldn't have children. She was 65. Then God tells Abraham they're going to have a son. But they had to wait on it. Now, wait a minute. She's 65. He's 75. They're going to have a son. But yet they have to wait. Is there a problem with that? Something new is about to happen here. Well, they waited and waited and waited until finally Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, "All right, you're going to have a son." The Bible accurately records Sarah's response when it says she laughed. I can understand that. She laughed. A baby at 90. Can I say what a woman? I mean, Prince Harry was gushing over Meghan when she had a baby at 37. He said, "Boy, women can do anything," but Sarah was 90. Come on, folks. Get your head around that one. She has a baby. But although she was going to be the mother of all the Jews, she still wasn't perfect. She knew that God had promised to make Abraham the father of a great nation, and they had not had any children. So you know what she does? She goes to her Egyptian handmaiden, Hagar, and gives Hagar to Abraham to have a child for them. Well, Hagar, just being a slave, went, okay. She goes off to Abraham, she gets pregnant, and she has a child by the name of Ishmael. Only trouble is, Sarah ends up not liking this. She doesn't like the arrangement. So the Bible clearly states that Sarah got harsh with Hagar. Now, you can imagine what harsh is, but if you have a jilted mom there and things are not going your way, she wouldn't be happy to be, it wouldn't be nice to be around her. And she made things so tough on Hagar and the baby that Hagar said, "I've had enough," and she takes off. But Sarah did have her son, Isaac. He was the promised son. So Sarah was a great mom. But she wasn't perfect. This story leads us to the next great mother that I want to talk about. Hagar. Hagar. The mother of Ishmael. He was thought to be the father of the Arabic nations. Another great mother. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking, so I want you to lay your politics and your religions aside. It has nothing to do with motherhood. We're talking about a great mom. We're not talking about something else. She was a great mom, and this is why I think so. Put yourself in her shoes. How would you like to be a slave and you get thrown into a bad situation with no choice in the matter? That was Hagar's situation. And what takes place of what you were told to do gets you kicked, makes your boss so angry that they turn up the heat and makes things so bad that you've got to run away. Think of Hagar. What would you have done? She said, I've had enough. She takes off. But Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, the angel of the Lord found her, Hagar, by a spring in the water in the wilderness and the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarah. Well, why wouldn't you? The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And we know that's the truth. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Israel. Listened to your affliction. That's what she did. She went back to Sarah. Even in a harsh situation, she went back to Sarah. She has a child, thought to be the father of all the Arabic nations. Sounds like a great mom to me, don't you think? So we've got Sarah, we've got Hagar. We're going to look at one more. This lady's name is Jochebed. Jochebed. Anybody tell me who Jochebed is? Moses' mom. I'm going to set the scene. Israel is in Egypt. God blesses them greatly, and their numbers were multiplying and accelerating rapidly. Pharaoh gets a little bit nervous because the Jews are growing in so much number and strength, and then tries to slow down the population explosion. He tells the midwives, he said, when a baby boy is born, what I would like for you to do is just kill the baby boy and let the girls live. But the midwives said, no, we're going to obey God rather than Pharaoh. And they kept both boys and girls alive. So nothing that Pharaoh did worked to slow the Jews down. Finally, he had had enough. Listen to what he says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile. But you shall let every daughter live. Not a good situation. Because Pharaoh is a tyrannical dictator who has the power and the will to do whatever he chooses to do. No one can stop him. That's where our story starts. Exodus 2, verses 1 and 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. I would like to know what that means, fine child. That's the side. I didn't find that answer. But anyway, she conceives, has a son, and she hides him for 3 months. Now get the story. Jochebed knows what the king has said. She knows that all baby boys are to die. And she has a baby boy. So she decides, well, actually, he could lose his life at any moment. How would you like to live under those circumstances? So often when we look at people in the Old Testament, we just read over them as some story, but we really don't feel the tension and the pain they go through. Jochebed could have her son taken and killed by throwing him into the Nile at any second. Then she takes him and she hides him. Now here's the question. How hard would it be to hide a quickly growing baby boy? Maybe girls are a whole lot easier, but boys, forget it. A quickly growing baby boy. We're into everything. But yet she's trying to hide him. And she did that for 3 months. I say, what a woman to be able to hide this baby boy for 3 months. Then it gets a little bit too much, and let's see what happens. Verse 3 and 4, but when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbed. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done. Some questions could be raised whether Jochebed was a great mom. I mean, what mother would put her son into a basket and send him down the river at the mercy of the current? Why would she do such a thing? She had no option. She makes a little boat, puts baby Moses in him, and sets him off. You know what that says to me? What, Gil? Trust. Folks, this is important. What Jochebed did is the absolute essence of faith. The absolute essence of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Jochebed had faith in God to provide something for her that she couldn't see or even imagine. But she was at the end of her rope. There was nothing else that she could do. I'm sure when she put little baby Moses into that basket, she probably wept the thing with her tears, and she was praying, God, look after my boy. She puts him in and sets him loose. But she must have had a plan, because she sent the sister to watch after him to see what was going to happen. Oh, can God be trusted even with your children? Mom? Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman in, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. So she took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now stop just a second. Forget the end of the story, all right? Here Miriam is watching Moses and Pharaoh's daughter, the dictator's daughter, finds baby Moses. Can you imagine what Miriam was thinking? Oh no! Worst case scenario. Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses. He's dead for sure. That's the human response, right? My favorite part. When they looked in, Moses cried. I'm sure an angel went in and pinched him. All right, now cry. Ah! What happens to a woman when a baby cries? The heart breaks. Even Pharaoh's daughter, she had compassion. And I'm sure she said it, and you can all say it with me. Oh. This is one of the Hebrew children. but I don't know what Dad said. He said they're all supposed to die. Hey, but he's my dad. I'll, you know, you can imagine what's going on. Ladies, what was going on in her head, all right, you know? I'm sure there was a little bit of confusion going on here. But the story didn't end there. Let's continue verse 7. Then his sister said to Pharaoh, oh, this is Miriam that was watching. Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. God is hilarious, isn't he? I mean, here you go. You've got Pharaoh who's going to kill all the Hebrew babies, baby boys. Jochebed trusts God with her baby. Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Then she sends for a Hebrew woman, Moses' mother, to look after him. Listen to what she says, verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Isn't that crazy or what? So the woman took the child and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. Why did all of this happen? You see, Jochebed was in a hopeless situation, totally hopeless. There was nothing she could do but pray and put poor Moses out on the water. And I'm sure God says, all right, I'll take care of this one. Leads little Moses to Pharaoh's daughter. It all works out where Moses' mother gets to raise Moses and gets paid for it out of the dictator's treasury. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Folks, we forget that sometimes, don't we? I mean, when the world situation, when the world situation is getting a little bit crazy, and believe it's a little, it's crazy right now. I was reading the news and I closed it real quickly. I was kind of sick and tired of it. But when we think the world is crazy, God just pulls up his sleeves and says, I can handle this. But there's a key. Are you listening, Christian? Listen. He says, I can handle it. But will you trust me? Will you? The only reason that Moses survived is because Jochebed realized she had come to the end of her capabilities. If Jochebed had kept baby Moses, there's a good chance he would have died before he was a year old. So this mother realized her abilities were not enough. She said, God, here he is. You take care of him. He said, I'll do the rest. You learning something from that, Mom? Kids are hard to turn loose of, aren't they? But sometimes we have to. None of us want to admit that we've come to the end of our abilities. We just get another child-raising book. How to do this or that or the other. We've got a child-raising book. It's called the Bible. We apply these biblical principles and trust the God that created everything. That's the best child-raising principles in the world. We know the story of Moses, that he eventually became the deliverer of Israel. And he was taught very early on by his mother, who knew to trust God. So that's the amazing moms we're going to look at today. Let's review. Sarah trusted God to do the impossible. But the Bible shows that Sarah was human. Do we have any human moms here today? Hagar. A slave girl. Thrown into very difficult situations. That found herself being abused, probably, with no one to complain to. So she runs. The angel of the Lord said, go back and I'll bless you. It would have had to take ultimate faith to go back into that situation, knowing what you're facing. She did. To me, that makes her a great mom. Then we have Jochebed. Also a very, very difficult situation. Knowing for sure that if God doesn't do something, her baby will die. She comes to the end of her rope with tears, probably throws up her hand and says, I can't do it. She turns him over to God. And God says, that's good enough. I'll look after you. Moms, listen. To me, that's the greatest lesson that any mother can learn. It's to put your faith and your trust in God. Not your own skills. Not the skills of your husband. Not the traditions of your parents. But put your trust in the God who has promised that he'll look after you. And he has promised to work all things out for your good. He didn't say easy. Work out for your good. Will you trust him? A lot of us, our kids are married and moved on, so now we're going to have to put our grandkids in those same hands. And some even great-grandkids in those same hands. Will we trust him? So let's go back to the beginning. Does the hand that rocks the cradle rule the world? Let me give you Tony's interpretation. As long as that one hand is rocking and the other is holding the mighty hand of God, then, oh yeah, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. How great is our God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're grateful for these stories that we can look at in the Old Testament. We can see that nobody was perfect except Jesus. We're all human. But Father, you said if we'll trust you, and you have given us the promises that we can latch on to and hold even the most difficult situations. And Lord, sometimes it's hard to turn loose with our children. That's the hardest thing in the world to turn loose. But you ask for that. Even as one day when Abraham had to offer his son to you, yet you prevailed and Isaac lived. So, Father, I pray for our moms today, our moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms. Pray that every one of them will just turn their children over to you and let you do with them as you please. Father, I pray that you would encourage our moms today, whether they had good examples to follow or not so good. Father, I pray that you'll just bless them and give them a wonderful day, but help them to be inspired by these moms we've looked at. The one ultimate factor that led to their success was their faith in you. May we all do that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Thanks for coming and being with us today. Now, everybody, just go out and spoil your moms or your wives or whoever, okay? Have a great day.